Okay. Yeah, sure. That's good. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. Okay. So, no exciting title for today's shiur. It's very straightforward. We're going to talk about slichas or slichos. Early risers, just because, as we'll see, that's the inyan of getting up early and being marbet tachanunim. I'm going to try to discuss 5 points to slichas. Some of them might be new for some, but many of them just might be chazara of some of the ideas behind the slichas and behind the piyutim that we say, and it should be a chizik for us as we get ready for the Yemei HaDin. So I just wanted to start, the first source is really a ton of the Beil Yo, it's a medrash, which is really expounding on the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah as a source in Chazal for slichas. As we'll discuss a little bit later, most of the slichas that we say were written by the Rishonim or Gaonim, they're not written by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah like the Ar Seder HaTfilah. Nonetheless, we do find in Chazal and in many places throughout the Navi that we are encouraged to be marbe slicha before our Kadosh Baruch Hu to ask for tshuva. And here, just in turn, the Beil Yo darshans on the pasuk we said this morning in davening, Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara, Hashem should answer us on our day of distress. That's a pasuk in Tehillim, because David HaMelech knew that ultimately the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed and there won't be an opportunity for us to bring karbanos. So he was mitzvah on Klal Yisrael. How is Klal Yisrael going to have a kapara if we don't have the opportunity to bring a karban in the Beis HaMikdash? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells David, B'shosh shahatzar is bo'is al Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael is overwhelmed with tzarais, b'avonoseihem, yamdu lefana yachad ba'aguda achaz, let them come before me as a group unified, v'yisvadu avonoseihem, and let them come and say vidui, confess on their sins, lefanai, v'yoyimu lefanai, say their slicha v'ani ene oisam, let them come and say before me this order of slicha, and I will forgive them. Now, of course, this is talking about particularly the Yud Gimel Midos, which is the focal point of our slichas, saying the 13 attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy. But nonetheless, from here we see a source that the idea of slicha as an overall idea is something that we are now going to say instead of the karbanos, as a source to get a slicha and forgiveness for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the ends off the last couple lines of the paragraph here. It says, "Ubishas sheyisrael miskatz in the funai va'oim in the funai ba'aguda achas." When Klai Yisrael joins together in the group, va'oim in the funai say the slicha. And he enoy sams that Kadosh Baruch Hu is maftiachas. He promises us that Kadosh Baruch Hu will answer us if we join together properly to say the slicha. So here we have just a very strong source. Again, it's really expounding a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that Kadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim with the idea that we should use it to beseech Hashem for forgiveness. So many people have a challenge during the way, at least Minig Ashkenaz, I'm not sure if we have any Sephardim here, we say Slichas primarily for a week before Rosh Hashanah basically, and then we'll say during the whole Seris to make Tshuva. And people say, well listen, I have my Daf Yomi before Shacharis, I have a late night Chavrusa, I'm busy learning all the time. So, Slichas are very nice, but if it's going to interfere with my learning schedule, we say every morning in Davening, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. So let me get my regular sleep, let me stick with my regular Chavrusa, and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I'll be busy, I'll be a good Jew, I'll daven then. Of course, I'm Yari Shemayim, I'm learning, I'm not just wasting my time, but I don't want to invest so much time in slichas. So the Chidah, already a couple hundred years ago, writes about this, and this is in source number 2, the Birki Yosef, the Chidah, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Shari Tshuva, and the Mishmur quotes a similar idea as well. He says, It's better in these days to dedicate our time to being marba and slicha and working on our davening as opposed to our regular learning. He says, I've seen many great rabbanim. The rest of the year they were involved in learning halacha, or writing svarim, or other sifrei halacha. Comes el time, they would change their schedule to learn the siddur, to go through the slichas, to go through the siddur, so we should familiarize ourselves with what we're going to be saying. As we'll soon discuss further, many of the words are unfamiliar to us. It's written very poetically, and it's challenging. So if we don't spend the time beforehand to properly familiarize ourselves with what's going to be happening in the slichas and in the machzor, we're really just showing up and reading things which are challenging to understand. So it says the Chidah, not only should we not use Torah as an excuse not to say slichas, but we should limit our learning for the idea of spending more time preparing ourselves for davening. And similar, the Elef HaMogei, which is found on the bottom of the Mate Ephraim, And Achron, he says the same idea. He says he heard that there were some people who said only 2 days of Slichas. They would say the first day of Slichas and Erev Rosh Hashanah, and the rest of the time they would go back to learning. And he's very upset about them. He says if the Tzibur is going to see that Talmidei Chachamim are not coming to say Slichas properly, then they themselves also won't say Slichas properly. So although they might have the best of intentions, they want to go and learn and stick with the regular Siddurim, nonetheless, it's inappropriate for this time of year, he says. He says, "V'lachein roi v'nochen." It's most appropriate lahem biyaiser liyos hema rishayin machal davar shabekdusha tamidei chachamim. Those people who are learning Torah all the time should be the first one to show up for slichas, and from them the rest of Klal Yisrael will see and make sure that they are doing tshuva properly. So this is just a push for us to dedicate ourselves to making sure we're available for slichas. I remember one of Rabbi Bain would tell me in Beis Medrash that once Slichas season starts, you know, roughly a week before Rosh Hashanah, he lowers the level of the shir. You know, whatever he feels, he usually gives a shir on a certain level to his bachurim, but he feels once Slichas starts and everyone's waking up earlier and they're more tired, he realizes that he can't mund them the same level as they could maybe the rest of the year, whatever. Either in some yeshivas, they say Slichas very late, every night after Chatzai, some yeshivas, most like many places, they're saying it earlier in the morning. So for young Bachrim, or even not such young Bachrim, the change in schedule could be challenging. And so he would instead of, you know, money them, I guess, so to speak, you know, he just deliberately lowered the level of shir in such a way where he felt that they would still, of course, be learning, but at the same time, they would not, chas v'shalom, take away from any of the slichas that was imperative to say during this time of year. Okay. So that's just more of an introduction. Now,
Chabad doesn't say slichas.
Okay, we'll get to the different minhagim, right? It's not set in stone the exact days, how many days we need to say slichas, different minhagim. We'll discuss a little bit later when we start with common customs and other customs as well. Now, as we mentioned briefly before, one of the biggest challenges of slichas, besides the getting up early, is the words. It's very hard. The words are they're written poetically. Even if we're familiar with Hebrew very well, I took 2 years of Hebrew in high school. I took regions on it. Feel comfortable in the Hebrew language, at least to take the test on it. But when it comes to slichas, it's very challenging. And this is a great discussion in the Rishayim. It's based on a pasuk in Koheles, which is source number 4 in the sheet. The pasuk in Koheles says, "Al tzvahel al picha, do not be rash, not be quick with what comes out of our mouths. V'libucha ayumar lahoytidav, and our hearts should not be quick to put forth words of nehalakim kelekim b'shemayim v'yata la'aretz al kein yu devarecha matim. We should be careful; our words should be measured." That's what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us in Koheles. So the Ibn Ezra, a Rishayim, sees over here on this pasuk a great opportunity for him to write. He, and I just quoted part of what he wrote. He wrote in the new print, it's columns and columns, where he's very upset. But first he says, listen, this pasuk is obviously teaching us how to guard our mouth, not just during the day when we have business associates or other casual conversations to be careful how we measure our words. But he says, even when we come to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person should be davening all day. We have so much to be thankful for the whole day. How much is going right for us appropriately in our bodies, physically, emotionally, or in business. We could be davening all day. But he says, okay, we have certain set times, Chazal kaveh us, when we're supposed to dedicate for davening. But he says, but then I see there are some people who wrote these piyutim, these paragraphs, these poems, which are full of strange words and full of strange understandings, and many of them written by Reb Lezer HaKalir, and I say, says the Ibn Ezra, that we shouldn't say them, because we don't know what we're saying. And therefore, says the Ibn Ezra, if a person would get up and say piyutim, that he doesn't fully understand, and they're not written in the appropriate fashion of basic Hebrew structural language, you're going to violate this pasuk in Koheles of just opening our mouth too much and putting forth too many words at Kadosh Baruch Hu that would not be appropriate. And I didn't quote the whole Ibn Ezra, but basically he has 4 problems with the piyutim that primarily written by Rabbi Lezer HaKalir and others as well. Number one, he says that many of the piyutim were written in a way of chidos or mishal, they're written in a way of a riddle or in a way of a mushal, and it's not clear exactly what the point we're getting to is. So usually when we dive in, the words are pretty straightforward. You get the translation of the words, you know exactly what's going on. But in the piyutim, it's not like that. Furthermore, he says that the Lashon of Piyutim is not pure Lashon HaKodesh. It's very much interspersed with Aramaic, or even Lashon Paras Umadai. He says, or even Lashon Yishmael. The Arabic words come in sometimes. It's not pure Hebrew. Number 3, he says that many times the Piyutim mess around with the Lashon Zachar and Nekeva. They're not makbid on the keeping things in the male tense or in Lashon Nekeva, in the female tense. He says also, they're constantly full of agadais and drashas and chazal, and they're not taking the psukim. Ain mikro yaitim de pshuta. Psukim are meant to be understood in davening in a simple, straightforward way. And therefore, the conclusion of the Ibn Ezra is, v'lai ucha levar echad mine elef. There's over 1,000 things that I can't understand in the slichos. V'hatoiv be'enai, says the Eben Ezra, shlo yispal adam b'hem, a person should not say these slichos which he can't understand. Ki'im ha'tfila ha'kavua, a person should daven the set tfila. V'yu divareinu mu'atim v'lo yinenesh b'din. And say, less is better, says Ibn Ezra. So now, if you will leave at this point, our davening and shul will look very different on the Yom Nerayim. I don't know, I wasn't zeichet to be in the Ibn Ezra's minion. I don't know what it was like, but I can imagine he did not end davening, you know, just an hour into Rosh Hashanah davening because he didn't say slichas. I'm sure they were davening for hours and hours and beseeching Kadosh Baruch Hu's mercy. But nonetheless, Ibn Ezra is clearly very upset with many of our piyutim that have become part of our liturgy, become part of our davening, and he's saying it's better not to say them. Now, obviously, as we know, this is not the common custom. And many, as we'll soon see, are very upset with Ibn Ezra. But I did find one sefer that tries to, I guess, defend Ibn Ezra's position. Like, why is he getting so angry with the piyutim? And that's from the Imre Pinchas. That's from Pinchas Karetzer, one of the first talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. And he writes that, first of all, he says, why does he want to defend Ibn Ezra? This is a very interesting just idea. Why does he want to defend Ibn Ezra? If all the Paiskans will soon see, going to argue with Ibn Ezra. So Pinchas Karetzer writes that one time he was dreaming, he had a dream, and in his dream he got an aliyah, he went up to the Torah, and they told him in his dream, this is the Torah of the Ibn Ezra, the Sefer Torah that belonged to Ibn Ezra. So somehow when he woke up, he took that as a message to him that it's up to him to defend the words of the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra often is under attack by the other Rishayim or the other Svarim, and he felt this dream was a sign for him, simon from Shemayim, that he should defend Ibn Ezra. Okay? If I would have such a dream, I would wake up and probably wouldn't know what to do with it. But Pinchas Karetzer knew what to do with his dream. And he writes that he gives a mashal. He says, sometimes you have a person who's walking down a long, dark tunnel. So we know there's two ends to the tunnel. There's light on both ends of the tunnel. Right? So he says, some people have good vision, and they're able to see the light where they came from, and that will guide them towards the end of the tunnel. Even though it might be long, but they can have that vision that they started with, and they can be able to carry them through the tunnel. Some people, he says, don't have such a good vision. Their eyes are not as strong, but they have good legs. And they know they've got to keep running and running, and they'll get closer and closer to the light at the end of the tunnel. He says, the original light at the beginning of the tunnel was the Beis HaMikdash. That was the source of Kedusha and Torah for Klal Yisrael, for Doris in Eretz Yisrael. So the Tanoim, Reb Elezer HaKalir, and the early Ga'inim who wrote the original Piyutim still had some of that light. They had a very strong eyesight. They still were able to draw from some of the light to the Beis HaMikdash. And they were able to draw from that depth of Torah to write many of these Piyutim and Slichas. He says, us, we're coming at the end, we're the Ikvasud de Mashicha. So we're seeing already toward the light, towards the end of the tunnel. So we have these quick feet, he says, to run towards the Arfun Mashiach to start understanding the depth of the Mishalom. He says, but Ibn Ezra was sandwiched, so to speak, in the middle of the tunnel. He was too far from the Tanayim and the Amorayim and the Ga'inim, and too far away from the Ar of Mashiach, so he didn't have the schus, the Siyat of the Shemaya, says the Pinchas Karetzer, to fully get to the depth of the Piyutim. Therefore, he was hesitant to say them. But he says, us right now in our generation, where we're getting the Ar from Mashiach, and we're able to shed light on many of the mysteries of the Slichos, he says, of course, therefore, we'll start saying the Slichos again. Okay, that's a defense. Well, no. We'll get to that in a minute. So the Maral, Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Aruch HaShulchan, many Svarim, Paiskim from full gamut of Svarim, they all argue very strongly on Ibn Ezra. And the Maral in here in source number 6, one mistake I made over here in this copy, I didn't copy the whole Maral, so it looks like it's one long piece of the Maral. Really, the two paragraphs in source number 6 are the beginning and the end of Maral's whole long argument on Ibn Ezra. But the idea basically is, he says, that which Ibn Ezra was angry with all our prayutim, says the Maral, Ani oimer ki loy chashu chazal adiktuk haloshen kemoizeh. Chazal in piyutim and slichas are not so concerned with hilchas dikduk. They weren't so concerned exactly how the language doesn't flow as we would typically find in Tanakh. Ki bevadai, the psukim, he says, are the psukim. Vim yesh dover zor beloshen hu, if there's something strange in the way the slicha or the piyut is going, it's bishvil drasha mat, because of certain drasha that Chazal felt we should be familiar with. Torah is not just a library book, leave it on the shelf and look at it when you need it. We have to be familiar with all the drushes of Chazal and the various psukim. So if there's something challenging in the phrases of the slichais or the piyutim, it's upon us to understand that there's a drasha here, and we have to do what we can to investigate to make sure that we understand it. He says on the top of the next paragraph, on the left paragraph, says "Uvnekira isi ki ma'oid ma'oid hifligar Ibn Ezra dvarim be'inyan zel kadmei." You know, since I've seen that Ibn Ezra went to the extreme to argue on the earlier generations, "Umila yasem alibo v'daitay v'zek ki kadmeinu kol darkom derech chachmo tfuna." The earlier, the Gaonim and the Tanoim who wrote the Piyutim were all well-versed in Derech HaChachma, Misha Som Liboy, V'dayte Al Devrayim. If we pay attention carefully and spend time to go into the Piyutim, we will see Yimotze Ki Lo Yisoru Miderech HaEmes Af B'Dov HaKatan. They're full of truth and Divrei Chazal, and therefore we don't pay attention to Ibn Ezra. And even though it's challenging, and we'll try to discuss shortly some ideas how to overcome those challenges, nonetheless, the Maral says, of course, we say all the Piyutim, all the Slichas, Rav Akiva Eger, and Shuvis, and Source number 7 says basically the same idea. He says, it's a machlokes who Rabbi Elazar HaKalir was. Either he was the son of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the famous Rabbi Elazar who sat in the cave with his father for all those years that we discussed the Lag BaOmer time, or he was a different Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, or he was from one of the Ga'inim. Fine, it's a machlokes. We don't know exactly where to put him on the on the chain of our in our lineage of Torah scholars, but nonetheless, Rav Elazar HaKalir and the other ones who wrote the Piyutim were great Talmid Chachamim. They're all miyusted of the drush and agadas of Chazal and secrets of Torah, and therefore it says Rav Akiva Eger as well. Of course, we should say all the slichas, and he says the last words. He says, "Vashem Hatoiv Yislach LaRav Ibn Ezra." Kodesh Baruch Hu should send a forgiveness to Ibn Ezra, Gadol Shagasta Bezeh, on his great mistake, on the fact that he was so vehemently opposed to saying the slichas or the piyutim, any piyutim we have over Rosh Hashanah. And Rabbi Akiva Eger again is saying that we should say all the regular piyutim. Aruch HaShulchan as well says this idea, and then he quotes the end of the bottom of the right paragraph to the top of the left paragraph. He says, "V'kasu ha'kadmoinim shebepiyutei ha'kaliri," when the kaliri or Elazar HaKalir wrote the piyut v'hachayos etc., which is the part of the kedusha on Rosh Hashanah morning, when he wrote that piyut, liata eish seviva, he was surrounded by fiery something that came down from the heavens. Meaning these are all written up Ruach HaKodesh. It's not a Chassidish Sefer, the Ruach HaShulchan. I mean, a Chassidish Sefer is also okay, but the Ruach HaShulchan was quite Litvak. And nonetheless, he was saying that the Messiah, this Messiah actually comes from Rabbeinu Tam, the Svarim quoted in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, the name of his father, the name of his Rebbeim. So maybe it's from Rashi or somebody else of the Rishonim who had this Messiah, that when Rav Elazar HaKalir wrote his Piyutim, he was surrounded by fire from heaven. So it's not something to play around with. He says, "Umilo Yira," says Aruch HaShulchan, "Shal Devrayim Shaira Kedusha V'Yira," and then he says it's full of Yira Shemayim and Kedusha. He says, "V'Tipach Rucham Shal Ksilim," at the bones of those fools, "Ha'Oimrim Shal Shaina Megumgum," who said that the words of the Slichas are Megumgum. What's a good word for that? Choppy, confusing, right? He doesn't quote Ibn Ezra by name, but he says he's obviously very upset with Ibn Ezra about saying that the words of the slichos are confusing. We see many slichos that we could understand, meaning the same people, same Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, who wrote some very challenging slichos and piyutim, also wrote some that are very easy to understand. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, what does that show us? It shows that if something is hard there, it's because it's hidden in it. He says, also hidden in it is many secrets of the Torah. They hid many secrets of Torah within the words of the slichas and the piyutim. So don't think it was just by mistake that they took out their pen and wrote words that were hard for us to understand. It was deliberate, and it's up to us now to decipher the code. So I saw the son of the Shla. This, I didn't make a copy of this, but the son of the Shla, which is printed at the end of the Sefer HaShla HaKadosh, it's called Vavei HaAmudim. So he writes, because of this challenge, because of this idea that it's so this concept that we can all relate to very well, that the words of the slichas and the words of the piyutim and Rosh Hashanah are very hard, he says, "Ubeglal hadavar hazeh," because of this matter, "tikanti tikun gadol," the son of the Shlo writes, I did a great fixing. I did a great job. That I made a chabura in the shul, chabura kadisha. I made a group in the shul. Sheyimotze asufos asufos. There's little groups meeting on a regular basis. Sheyilamdu atzfilos mereishis hashana ad achas hashana. They go through the siddur from Maidani, from the first page or tikkun chatzos, whatever your siddur starts with, till the end. I don't know where your siddur ends. Either it's Tehillim or something else. And they get together on a regular basis. And this is before the days of Art Scroll or Mitzvah or anything else. And they just simply, he says, at least they go through every word and explain every word. And sometimes they get into Pirushim. The Pirush Amidus Lepachas says, but at least they understand every word. Kedei, in order, Shlo Yitzaf Tzufu Ke'oifos, Hamahagim umitzatzun. It shouldn't just be like birds who are chirping when it comes to davening. The Shlomo, the son of the Shlomo writes that we just get up by davening and we're just making noises with our mouths and have no idea what's going on. He says it's something that he was misakin in his shul. He says it was a great chizik for everybody, and that was, of course, a much easier way for us to understand if we would sit and actually take time to go through the Siddur, Kav HaChomer, with our availability now of Art Scroll or any other Pirushim that are available to us to explain the words of the Slichas. I think it behooves us to do that in order that we can appreciate what's going on. However, in source number 9, I found the words of the Pelayites very helpful. The Pelayites writes, this was approximately 200 years ago, Pelayites was a big Sephardi Rav in Bulgaria. And that whole area of, I don't know what it's called, Russia or whatever, I don't know what it was called. What's modern-day Bulgaria over there, former USSR. And the Sephardi Kehillah over there, Pelayites was a Rav. And his Sefer, it's like Musar / Halacha organized on Seder Ha'alef base. So in the entry under Slichas, he writes as follows. Va'afilu mishu am aretz. Even if someone is unlearned, the any idea mashmaytu piv and doesn't understand the words that he's saying, I'll call upon him yoyimba haslichis ois ba ois teva b'teva. He should say each and every word deliberately of the slichis carefully. But call bechi call tuchina with a sound of crying and a sound of supplicating Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Be yedea hakavana shu mevakish afnei amelach Hashem tzvakos al hashachata nefesh vecharada yilbash. At least with the basic knowledge, even if we don't understand the words we're saying, we should just realize that we're saying, so to speak, a secret code. We have these words that the Rishonim / Tanoim, Ga'inim, wrote for us and told us that these words will help us with our supplication for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the best we could do, of course, is understand what we're saying. But says the Pelayites, even if we don't understand what we're saying, we have to make sure to say the words carefully and with the basic idea of knowing that we are beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mercy for the averus that we did. V'imka yaseh, says the Pelayites, if a person is able to do this, yiftach b'shem elakav, he should be confident in Hashem, ki kel rachum v'chanun, umar b'desloyach v'yachbetz, umayis ameis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive us. So Pelayites is giving a chizik to us, even if we have a hard time understanding the words of the Slichas, nonetheless, we should make sure to say them appropriately, put in appropriate expression, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do his part if, so to speak, putting it together. If we're not able to understand the words, at least the concept general that we're beseeching HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Slicha. But then he writes a little thing, a little Musar further, and he says something that makes him very upset. He says, V'achar HaSlichas, in the second paragraph, says, after Slichas, Lo Yomish Ma'asais Peri. Don't tarry, don't just hang around from producing fruits. He says he's seen many people in his community that they would wake up early, they would rush through slichas, rush through davening, and then they would go to the coffee shop. This is before Starbucks, but whatever coffee shop they had there, and they would sit around lishtais kafe, they would drink coffee, umala oshem bechanus shogoy, they would sit around and smoke a good pipe maybe or something. This is written about 200 years ago. You know, he knew what was going on already then. And so he says, what's going on over here? They're getting up early to say slichas. They're davening, they're rushing through in order to get to the coffee shop. He says, well, what kind of ridiculous business is this? Like he said before, at least say the words carefully and slowly. He says, he has a great phrase here. He says, Umala tevin es habar. The people say, what does the straw have to do with the wheat? Meaning, they get up early, they say the words, and let them do what they want the rest of the day. You know, there's religion in the morning in the shul, and the rest of the day they could spend their time, do what they want. And he's very upset with this. He says, if you're waking up early to say slichas, and then you're like, you know, showing yourself, like he says, umara, you're showing shiroitz elias in the ki kapayim, you're showing you want to be someone of a clean hands, ubar levav, and a clean heart, and then vaka choylech shoiva, then you're just going to go around and drezach in the streets and not be involved in tshuva and not be involved in the mea rachamim. He's very upset with this, and he says, we have to realize that the point here is to get us up early, to get us focused on slicha, to get us ready for the yom adin, make sure the rest of the day as well, we're staying focused. Similarly, the Kav HaYasha, which was written a little earlier than Pelayites, the 1700s.
What did you say in the bottom, the last over here? Behem?
For Oish Yesh, where are you?
Oh yesh.
Shechev lehashena noiflim olav yashenim atfilah. Some people wake up early and they daven slichas, but then they're so tired when it comes to davening they fall asleep with the tefillin. B'toich kriyishma atfilah, he says we can all relate to this. Unfortunately, he says it's doymet to someone who wants to make a quick buck, but it costs him 100 bucks to make a buck. Right? He wants to make a quick gold coin, but he throws away 100 gold coins. So we have to realize that, says the Pelayites in strong terms, that we got to be focused on the slichas, not just, you know, make sure we yaitz zayin, so to speak. Even though he said you could just say the words even if we don't understand them, but to make sure that we're in the right mindset, a growth mindset of being getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, the Kav HaYashar, written a little before the Pelayites, says, is a chiyuv on every person to say the piyutim b'simcha It's interesting. He says, do it with simcha, ube kavana salei v'safa brua. So slicha is, you know, we don't think it's not simcha's Torah. It's not Purim. We don't come to shul necessarily happy, but he says you have to realize that this is a great opportunity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the month of El, the series to make tshuva. And in the doidi v'doidi li, even if, unfortunately, sometimes we don't feel beloved, that we're not acting in a way of belovedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal telling us, is beloved to us, and he is chasing us for relationships, so we have to approach that besimcha and realize that he says, kol piyut u piyut, in each and every one of the slichais, yesh soidais nifloyim, there are great secrets. He says, there should not be like a masa. He says, the piyutim were neschabra pi atzas malochei maila, based on the counsel of Lezer HaKalir, so to speak, sought counsel with the malochim up above to get the best proper advice from them who are there in the inner know. I guess they got some inner, what's it called? Stock, what's it called when you inside trading?
Tip.
Yeah, inside, right? So Lezer HaKalir went up to get the inside tips from the malachim. He says, that's why many of the piyutim go in the seder of Aleph Beis, or they go in the reverse of the Aleph Beis, right? And many of the newer slichas, like the Art Scroll, the other new ones, you see often they highlight when it's the name of the person who wrote it, mm-hmm. you know, in the acrostic, or if the Aleph Beis are somewhere hidden in there, or the backwards Aleph Beis, or other secret codes, so to speak, that are sometimes within the slichas. Says the Kava Yashar, that was all bedafka, things that were hinted in there, because the Malachim told of Lazar Kalir, that's the way we do the Zmiris up here. You want to know how they sing Zmiris and how they say Shir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shmayim? It's based on various orders of the Aleph Beis, either backwards or forwards, for whatever reasons. I can't tell you more than that. But that's how they do it, and Lazar Kalir therefore decided to write the slichas in a similar way. He says, the Kabbalah, it says a couple lines down, a little scary line, it says, the Kabbalah biyadi, the piece of Canaan, I have a tradition from my elders, from the pious ones, Misha Mekel Ba'amiris Krovitz, someone who's lax in the saying of the Krovitz. Krovitz stands for Kol Rino Vishua Ba'ali Tzadikim. It's a way many of the Sfarim refer to the Piyutim and the Slichas. And he says, someone who's lax in saying the Slichas, V'aymish Einachiv Kol Kach, who says, it's not such an obligation. We say, he does not have a long life. This is quoted by many Svarim. I saw it here at Kav Yashar. The Bach quotes it as well. In the Paiskim and the Muslim Svarim, many of them quote this idea that if a person has a lackadaisical attitude towards the slichas, it's not good for your longevity. He says, because there's many secrets, like we said before, hidden in them. And then he says, a little bit of a scary story, that happened to one of the Gedolei HaPayutim, which is from the times of the Rishonim. His name was Rav Shlomo Ibn Gabirol. I'm not sure. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Rav Shlomo, he wrote many Piyutim that we say during the Slicha. Some of the famous ones that he wrote, we say on Erev Rosh Hashanah, right? That's one of the Pizmonim we say. Rav Shlomo wrote it. And similarly, we say during the Seris Meitshuva, right? Nafshi b'she'el osi v'ami b'vakosh osi. That Pizmon also written by Rav Shlomo. Many of the Pizmainim he wrote, and some of them we don't know which ones he wrote, but he lived approximately 1,000 years ago, early times of the Rishonim, and when he was about approximately 30 years old, he was brutally murdered by an Arab, by Ishmaeli, who was jealous of his knowledge in Kabbalah and his piety and whatever, somehow that made him jealous. And the Arab killed him. Not only did he kill him, then he took the body of Reb Shlomo and buried him in his own garden, next to his trees. Now, the Kav Yashar is bringing the story. Of course, it's an unfortunate, gruesome story, but he's trying to show how kaddish these people were, even b'misasam. The Arab took the body, Rahman al-San of Rav Shlomo, that he just murdered, buried him in his garden, and a nace happened, and all the fig trees that this Arab had started producing these amazingly large, luscious figs, much way before the rest of the season of when the other fig trees were producing. And it came to the knowledge of the local governor, the local officials, and they were very disturbed. What was this guy doing that he was getting the crop, 3 months before everyone else, and he was getting these big luscious figs, and they interrogated him. And he was filled, this guy got filled with a pachar. He was scared, and he couldn't even, he didn't want to say what he did. He was afraid of the authorities. Eventually, he was scared enough that he spilled the beans. And the Arabs were so upset at him that he killed his Jew, and that's why his fruits were so they were being so productive. His fruit trees. He was killed himself, and I don't know exactly what happened to the body of Reb Shlomo. Maybe they took him out and gave him a proper burial. I don't know what happened. But Kaviyasha brings a story just to show us the Kedusha of this Reb Shlomo, who was Nifter. He was killed, I'm sorry, when he was approximately 30 years old. And nonetheless, the Kedusha that emanated from him was giving off this, make these trees produce of such a high volume of fruits. He just ends off, he says, HaKlal HaOyla Ki Kol HaEda Adas Hashem Kulam Kedoshim The Gedolei Hadar Tiknu Piyutim, us Klai, so we are Kadosh, and the Gedolei Hadar were the ones who established for us these Piyutim. We should have in mind when we say the Piyutim to the person who wrote it, as we can often see, it's bolded, the letters of the person who wrote it, Oya Machaber Seslicha, or the Aleph Beis, and we should just have the basic Kavana that at least the Zchus of the author should be a Zchus for us when we say it, and be Nachas Ruach for Kadosh Baruch Hu, become for Eslichas. Okay, so that basically is the idea that although the Ibn Ezra was upset with the our piyutim and our slichas, and it's interesting that the Sfardim, when they say slichas for the whole month of Elul, they say the same slichas every day for a whole month. And their slichas is a little bit different than ours in the fact that their piyutim are not the same piyutim we say. Many of them are easier to understand, similar to what the Ibn Ezra was upset with. He didn't go many with the ones that we are commonly in Ashkenazi and more familiar with. But nonetheless, they're saying plenty of slichas that have hard words as well. And there's, you know, as we know, within the slichas themselves, there are different nusachos. There's nusach Poland, there's nusach Litva, there's nusach Hungary. Every kahila in Europe adapted different nusachos to adapt the different. There was hundreds of slichas and piyutim written over the times of the Rishonim and the Gaonim, even from the Tanaim. That, you know, it's I didn't properly research how each kahila in Europe adapted their nusach. But you know, now that we're hundreds of years later, we all have a, you know, we just buy the printed slichas. And we go with every shul daven, and you even hear they daven. I think nusach Litta. If you go to other places in New York, many places I used to daven, they daven nusach Poland. You know, so every kehillah will daven with nusach they follow. But the idea is that slichas are not to be taken lightly, and we should at the best make use of the art scroll or something else, and or we can make a group in the shul to study the slichas to understand it. But in case we don't have the time to probably do that, at least we have the Pel Yoyetz idea that should not. Think that we're just saying the words for nothing. The sodas that are tamun, that are hidden within those words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be lift them up before Him, and they should be a schus for us. Now, in English, from a halashan, right? So technically, halachically, there's no concern with that. It's definitely okay. But I don't know if you're going to get the segula, so to speak, of the slichah said in English. So, you know, that's why I think it's good to look ahead a little bit, you know, the night before, just for a couple of minutes, even just to get the basic structure of what we're going to be saying the next day. It doesn't have to take a couple of hours, it could just be a couple of minutes, you know, because especially if you have to do it a few times, you know, many of the slichas, they use the same similar terminologies, we'll just be more familiar with it. I use a pencil time to underline certain things which I have a hard time with, just to remember, you know, to look, you know, different people, every person will, you know, can discover their own tricks, how to make it easier for them, but again, halachically, you could say it in English, but I think if you want to get the schoolist of the depth that's hidden in it, it's probably better than the original Lashon.
He says when he was up in Shemaim, he got all those texts right. About, you know, the forwards and backwards, the aleph base.
That's the schoolist of it. You won't get backwards. Right, you won't get that in English, but the understanding of it, you'll get in English. So, okay. All right, now I want to discuss a little bit the idea of when to start saying slichas. So, as Rabbi Gertzon brought up before.
Even the parts of slichas that you say every day, like the tachnun.
Right.
So that's something you're familiar with. So that's. You say that, that's a good
schooler
too.
If you say, right. You know, psukim, we don't show, you know, the psukim from Tehillim also are a good schooler, you know, even if they don't have all the aleph beis backgrounds and forwards. Okay, Rabbi Gertzon mentioned before a little bit about the time when we start saying slichas and different minhagim. So, again, the Gemara doesn't tell us, it's not set in stone from Chazal when we start saying slichas. We all know that the Yemei Ha'el through Yom Kippur, those 40 days are Yemei Ha'racham v'aslichas, and the custom by most Sfaradim is to say slichas for that for the whole month of El and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. The Ga'inim discussed it from Minhagim. The common minig amongst Ashkenazim is to start the week of Rosh Hashanah. Now, the problem is that depending when Rosh Hashanah falls out, so some years we end up with more because we want to have a minimum, according to our minig, of 4 days of Slichas. The reason for that is, Mishpura brings down from Eli Rab and other Paiskim, that just like a carbon needs 4 days to check it beforehand to make sure it has no blemishes, we are like the Pasuk says by the Rosh Hashanah of Asisim Oila, we should make ourselves like the carbon, we should view ourselves as we makrev ourselves Rosh Hashanah. So just like a carbon needs a minimum of 4 days, so therefore our minig is, minig Ashkenaz is to have a minig, a minimum of 4 days of Slichas. So this year, Rosh Hashanah falls out on a Thursday, so we'll start Slichas on a Sunday. anytime a Rosh Hashanah will fall out on a Monday or Tuesday, so then we'll start Slichas a whole week before that, and we'll end up with, so to speak, extra days of Slichas, which is for our benefit as well. Even though people sometimes kvetch about it, but it's for our benefit. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, we all have the minig, whether we're starting it exactly like this year, 4 days before Rosh Hashanah, or we're starting it a week and a half before Rosh Hashanah, we always start on Matzei Shabbos. And the question is why? So of course it's convenient to always start in a set time, but why is particularly Matzei Shabbos? So the Leket Yaisher, which is either a very, very late Rishon or very early Achron, he was a Talmud of the Trumas HaDeshen, early 1500s, he writes in the name of his Rebbe, first he says that there's a minute, he says that there's a minimum of 3 days of Slichas. I said 4 before, he says 3, because just like Matan Torah, Klai Yisrael needed 3 days to prepare for Matan Torah. But then he says, a couple lines down, he says, Yesh Lamer, La'olam Oyim Dim Yer Mishon. We always start Slichas on the beginning of a week. Mishum Shum Samach L'Shabbos, because we want to be as close to Shabbos as possible. He says, why? Because V'noa Kol Adam Lomoy B'Shabbos. Everybody's custom is to sit and learn on Shabbos afternoon. V'cheinu B'yomav, in the days of our Rebbe, the Trumas HaDeshen, Mishum De'ein La'odam HaSokom, person has to go to work, V'gam Yeshlev P'nai Lomoy, he has time to learn, he brings a whole Medrash. He says, a couple lines down, he says, V'B'Shabbos Hein P'nuyim Imalacha, V'Elayim Din Torah, V'Lakach, Toiv L'Haskob Yomav. We start on a Sunday, Matzei Shabbos. Why? Because we're coming right off a day spent of Limud HaTorah. We're happy because of the mitzvah we had to learn of Torah on Shabbos. We got machos oynik Shabbos. Also, we had a geshmak a chant and a geshmak oynik Shabbos. V'armina and Chazal tell us, "Ein hashchina shoyra loy machmas atzus loy mitoich atzus." The shchina doesn't rest on Klai Yisrael. If a person is an otzel, is lazy, lackadaisical, or if he's depressed, he's sad, only mitoich simcha shal mitzvah. We have to start the Shechina will only come after a person's in a ideal state of a Simcha Shal Mitzvah. He says, therefore, it's appropriate to start the Slicha Mitzvah, Simcha Shal Mitzvah, which is right away on Sunday morning. So he doesn't say Matzei Shabbos particularly, he says right away after Shabbos. So from the Lekha Yashir itself, it would sound like even Sunday morning would be sufficient. But the idea of starting on a Sunday, according to Lekha Yashir, is because we're coming off of Shabbos, and a Shabbos is spent in learning Torah. That would be a big push for the Shabbos afternoon Seder here, that especially the Shabbos before Slichas, to make sure we're here to learn so we'll get the right mindset going into Slichas. The Rivas Ephraim and Shuvas quotes from a Sefer Argudayo, a similar idea that the Shabbos before an event always has the Kedusha, always has the energy of what's going to happen. The Shabbos before we start Slichas, we read the Parsha of Atan Nitzavim. It talks about, mentions the idea of Tshuva, so that sets us in the mindset for starting tshuva, that right away Matzei Shabbos. I saw similarly in the Sefer brought down the gematria of Atem Nitzavim Hayoyim is 694, which is the same gematria of Lamoid L'Slichos, to get up for Slichos. So that meaning the day we start reading the Parsha of Atem Nitzavim, right away afterwards, we're Lamoid L'Slichos, same idea, to get up for Slichos. I saw similarly a nice idea in the name of the Alta Belzer Rebbe. He said over, why we start Dafka Matzei Shabbos? He says, Chazal tells, the Gemara on Shabbos tells us, Kol ha'omer vayechulu. Anybody who says vayechulu on Shabbos, nasa shutuf laKadosh Baruch Hu ma'aseh bereishis. Gemara tells us that when we say vayechulu on Shabbos, we become a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. He says, of course, the Velt Zok, that with a business partner, you never close the door. If you have a deal with somebody, you have a partnership in a business, and the partner comes in the middle of the night, you're always available. Because, you know, with him, you're making a lot of money, so you're never going to close the door on your partner. So he says, listen, we just spent the whole Shabbos. We said Vayechulu, we were Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we became a Shutuf in the Ma'aseh Bereishis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So right away, Matzei Shabbos, we come knocking back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's door, says the Belzer Rebbe, and says, okay, we're your partner now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now open up a door for us. Don't be Noel, the Shari Tzvila, keep the door open for your business partner, and be Mekabel our Slichos Barachim of Ratzon. That's the idea for the Belzer Rebbe, this idea why Dafka, we jump in Matzei Shabbos right away to start saying Slichas. And I'm not going to get involved with so much, but we know the custom is that we start Dafka after Chatzais. The Sfar Makadosh tell us that until Chatzais, there's different Ketrugim. So the Chatzchila, we only say it after Chatzais. Ramesha and others have a tshuva. What happens, there are certain shuls that the people won't come together. Many won't come for Chatzais. We're not discussing that right now, but over here we say it, and most shuls say it after Chatzais. So the Chatzchila, we say it after Chatzais, Matzei Shabbos. It's late, but we'll take a nap for a little bit on Shabbos afternoon, and we'll mechazik ourselves to say the slichas properly. Another thing I want to discuss briefly is there's a lot of discussion in the Poskim about the piyut machnisei rachamim. That the piyut machnisei rachamim and other similar piyutim, where it seems like if you go through the simple translation of the words, we are davening to the malachim to bring up our tefillos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the problem with that? So the Yerushalmi says in source 13 over here, the Yerushalmi brings down Rav Yudan Omar, Rav Yudan brings down the shame of his Rebbeim, that what's the difference between a Kadosh Baruch Hu and a Melech Pasav Adam? He says, a Melech Pasav Adam, if a person has a tzar, he has a problem, something distressing him, he needs to go speak to the king, you don't just walk into the king's palace, you come up to the king's gate, there's guards, there's people you speak to first, and they see if the king's available for you. They'll bring your words into the king's, first chamber, then the second chamber. There's a whole procedure we have to follow just to speak to the king. We don't just bust open the door, unannounced, and start spilling forth our problems to the king. And even if we get to the first door, so to speak, there's no guarantee we'll ever even get up to the king that he'll ever be able to help us. Says Yushami, however, Avala Kadosh Baruch Hu Eina Kein. In Basal Adam Tzar, if a person's ever in a situation of distress, Lo Yitzavach, Lo Yilamachov, Lo Yilagavriel. He doesn't cry out not to Machov, not to Gavriel. Ela Li Yitzavach, says the Yushami, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, scream out to me. Vani Oina Loi Miyad, I'll answer immediately. Kedachsiv, like the Pasuk says, Kol Asher Yikra B'Shem Hashem Yimolet, anybody calls the name of Hashem, I will send the salvation. So from this Yushami, many of the Poskim say, it seems like we're not supposed to daven at all to Malachim, and therefore they're very upset about the piyut Machnisei Rachum and other piyutim, which seem to say that we're davening to Malachim, they should bring up our tefillas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maral was upset with it. He wanted to make a slight modification in some of the Nuschais, the Slichais, to fix this problem, in order that we should be able to say it. The Chassam Sofer personally did not say Machnisei Rachamim. He would just say a longer Tachanun during the Slichais so that, he wouldn't, so it wouldn't look like he was skipping it. But in his shul, he would let the Chazan say it, but he himself personally would not say it. And there's different minhagim. The common custom is to say it, and the question is why? What about this Yushami? So in the Sefer Tanya Rabasi, which is source 14, is the Rishon. There's a contemporary in Ram Brunberg, another Rishonim say similar ideas as well. He brings down, it's in the right paragraph where it kind of starts changing, starts going on a tilt down. I don't know the way the copy worked out, the way it came like that. He brings the name of Rabbi Vigder, who was an early Rishon. He says, there's no problem here of making a shituf, so to speak, of davening to the malachim. It's not that we're making a shituf, a partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and another deity. He brings a raya from a Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, La'olam yivakish adam rachamim shiwa kol ma'amitin es koichayim milmata v'al yutzar milmala. Let me just explain this. Meaning, we're davening here, we're in St. Louis, Missouri, we're in New York, we're anywhere in the world, even in Yerushalayim, HaKadosh, we're davening. There's quite a distance from where the time the words enter our mouth until somehow they get up to whatever sha'arim they have to get up to. There's a lot of interference between our mouths and the sha'arim. There's all types of malachi chavol that unfortunately a person himself sometimes creates by doing averis that could impede his tefillah. There's all types of other schmutz in the world that could, for whatever reason, stop our tefillah. There's lots of blockades that unfortunately tax collectors, toll collectors, all types of things that could stop our tefillah from getting to where it wants to get to or needs to get to. Says Rabbi Yechanan, a person shows him a vakesh that any koyach kedusha that could help his tefillah get up, anything that can boost his tefillah, give a little turbo boost to his tefillah, should get onto his tefillah, should latch on and help get up. So says the Rishonim, when we're davening Machnisei Rachamim and other tefillahs that it seems like we're davening to Malachim, we're not davening to the Malachim, the Malachim should help us. We're just asking the Malachim, could you please make sure our tefillah gets to where it needs to, because unfortunately, sometimes again, like a person's own averus are blocking his tefillahs or other circumstances of chet in the world in general could stop tefillahs from properly going to where they need to. So we're asking, please make sure my tefillah gets to HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way it needs to get there, in the most appropriate fashion. So it's not like we're davening to the malachim that they should answer our tefillahs, but rather we're davening to the malachim that they should be the make sure that our tefillahs kind of cut through the schmutz and get to where it needs to get to so it can appropriately be answered. It brings a medesh and shir shim with a similar idea on the pasuk of Ishbati Eschem B'nai Yisru Yishalayim, that the Knesset Yisrael says to the malachim who stand by the gates of tefillah and by the gates of dima, that they should please make sure that no malachi ra are standing in the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu hearing our tefillahs. I saw similarly in the Chumash Marie Bruno, who's also, he's a later Rishon time of the Chumash Hadeshen, he says also that a similar idea that when we're saying Machnisei Rachamim, he says it's really an idea of shiflus. We're saying, of course we could just speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we know that we unfortunately are filled with aveya. We're unfortunately filled with sin that impedes our tefillah. So we could technically beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't feel adequate enough, that we don't feel like we're on the madrig enough to do it. So we're saying, Machnisei Rachamim, please, Malachim, who have this ability to get through to higher levels, please help me, because I'm not in the proper level to just go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm Malei Averis. So we're asking Malachim just for chizuk and help in getting our tefillahs to the proper way. And that's why the common minhag is, amongst many, to do say these tefillahs of Machnisei Rachamim, etc. So I want to end off with a drop, chizik I saw from the Lekha Chaliva of Ram Shor Shlita. He says, there's many, as we know, there's many Rosh Tevis, many acronyms for El. He brings from the Pasuk in Parshas Bechu Kaisai, Milo Teichacha, the Pasuk says, V'naflu oyveichem lefneichem lechar, and your enemies, numerous enemies, will fall before us by sword. Those words, V'naflu oyveichem lefneichem lechar, those Rosh Tevis, you've mixed up the letters, also spells El. He says it's a remez to El in... These days we have to go out and have the Muhammad negate the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara, why is it plural? Oyveichem. The Yetzer Hara is one person, one being. He says, but it's true the Yetzer Hara is one being, but why does it say Oyveichem plurally? He says, because the Yetzer Hara has many shluchim and he has many masks. So just because we recognize him in one day, in one action, doesn't mean we'll recognize the Yetzer Hara. He has numerous personality traits or numerous personality disorder, I don't know what you want to call it. How he manifests himself in different ways. So we have to recognize the numerous faces of the Yetzer Hara. He says, the Pasuk says, Lachar, we have to destroy our enemies with the sword. The sword, of course, refers to Tzvila, as Yaakov Avinu said, Asher Lakachti Asamari Bacharbi. By I conquer them with my sword and my bow. Charbi, the Targum Unkelah says, refers to my davening. He says, Shabesa Tfila, that's the time to strengthen our sword during particularly these days of El. So we should be Zaycha that these days of El, which are Yimei Ratzayin, we have 2 weeks now till our minig is to start Slichas. We should mechazak ourselves properly in Tfila, whether we can understand all the words of Slichas properly or we can't. At least we should recognize the opportunity we have to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and these Yimei Racham and Ratzim, we shall be Zeichet to Chesiv HaChesim HaTev, a good Gebench Jar. I just want to end off one more Chesiv HaShavar, to Degel Machne Ephraim. The Einikel from the Baal Shem Tov brings down the name of Baal Shem Tov. He says that the Amir HaSlichas is Mekar of the Geula. I don't know what that, I can't explain why, but that's what the Baal Shem Tov is to say over, that saying the Slichas will be Mekar of the Geula, so we should be Zeichet, not only to Chesiv HaChesim HaTev, but also to the Geula. Meher b'meinu, amen.
Amen. You should get up in the morning.
Amen.
So when we say a shortened verse,